Open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning and this new day in more ways than one. We thank you, Father, that you're revealing your heart in this last hour to all those who are truly seeking you, and that you're preparing us perfectly for the glorious days ahead. So, Father, just take us where you'd have us go this morning and revealing the deepest thoughts and intentions of your heart concerning that which I'm about to speak. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm continuing on. I'm going to talk again about the advent of the apostles and prophets. You can turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to go over that scripture again and parts of it. It's very, very important to understand what's happening in these days and what God's desire is as far as the establishment of the glorious church. And believe me, he has only one way to do things, and that's his way. And so we have to be able to be in a position, rather, that we are conforming ourselves or being conformed to his will. So the last time I talked about the advent of the holy apostles and prophets, but there was one revelation that really had to be imparted first before I continued on with that, and even before I continue on today. And that is that, and we're going to read the scripture, that the fivefold ministry has a distinct purpose, and that is to lead God's people into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. They're not there to do anything other than that. And so on their part, they're to obey God, and in their obedience and through the words they speak from the throne room, they are to elevate God's people, those who are willing, into that place where they are abiding in faith. Now, if we as Christians don't have that revelation, then what happens is that spectator mentality remains in the church. And I'm telling you, there's only two positions for a Christian to be in this last hour. That is in the will of God, or being a spectator in the outer darkness, the place that talks about wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we as Christians need to realize that we are living stones, we are members of a body, and that each member must bring that which God provides them with to the whole. Without that principle being in effect, then there is no Christianity or true Christianity. So again, you know, I'm talking to people, of course, who are dwelling in a true spiritual environment here right now, but there's also people out there who are headed towards that true spiritual environment that God has for them. And there's also people who are right in the teeth of the denominational structure. So wherever a person is, they need to adjust their thinking and make sure that they're still seeking first the kingdom of God in all things. And then, of course, God is able to move them physically into the place they're to be, but also spiritually into an understanding of that which I'm about to talk about. You can see in the spirit the great gap that's widening daily between those who are truly serving God and those who aren't. And, of course, the unfortunate part of that is that the people who are not in a position to receive from God believe they have God's will when they don't. So I'm going to talk about a few things today. And again, when I'm talking about the apostles and prophets, we have to keep in mind that it's a parallel thing that God is establishing apostolic and prophetic ministry in the church. That's true apostolic and prophetic ministry. And we have to realize that we have a very integral part in the whole thing coming to pass. So Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service," that's true service, "to the building up of the body of Christ," or the establishment of the true church, "until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge," that's revelation knowledge, "of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." So that really defines what I just said about the fivefold ministry, that each and every true member of the body of Christ, fivefold ministry right on down, our job is to, in whatever we do and say, lead people into the fullness of what has been purchased for them at Calvary in Christ. Now that's extremely important, because as I go on to talk, we're going to talk about the absoluteness of God being revealed in this hour. And it's this very thing that is going to be a plumb line as far as establishing the true church and separating those who are not wholly given to God supernaturally from the midst of all those who are. Now that's extremely important. God is a God of who desires to establish true environments, first of all, of course, beginning with us personally and our one-on-one relationship with Him. But through that obedience, through that revelation we gain there, and the obedience we act on, then we are going to establish corporate spiritual environments. And that is where the power of God, the power and presence of God, is going to be manifested to a degree heretofore unseen, in the church even. So, verse 14. As a result, now as a result of what I just read, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Really describes religious spirits there and the establishment of false doctrine. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. What does every joint supply? It supplies a revelation of Jesus Christ, a revelation of God's love, a revelation of God's wisdom. Whatever manifestation in any given moment comes forth, that's what brings the body together. That's what establishes the true church. That's what establishes divine government. Apart from these things, there is no true church. There is no true Christianity. As a matter of fact, Paul, I'll just go back, you don't have to go there, but when Paul started this letter to the Ephesians, he said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And when I read that, I've read it many times, but just a while ago I read that, and the Holy Spirit said to me, He said, those who aren't faithful, those who aren't seeking to be faithful, might as well stop right there, because everything else in this letter is not for them. So we need to be people who are full of faith, full of the love of God. And then these things become a reality. You see, it's quite simple, but it all comes down now to heart attitude. And those people who have walked in a counterfeit Christianity are now going to be exposed. The heart desires are going to be exposed as selfish, because you only can have two desires. The one is to be wholly given to God and serve Him and please Him, and the other one is to live for self. Doesn't matter what the dressing on that is. Every heart desire is going to be exposed for what it truly is, wholly given to God or still living for self. So the fact is that as divine government is being established, we're going to see some different manifestations. We've seen glimpses, but now we're going to see, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, some of the things that the effects that true ministry is going to have. And again, I'm going to keep reminding you, because it's very, very important that you remember that each and every Christian has a vital part in this, because that spectator mentality must go completely from the church, that hierarchy that has been built up by the lies of the devil. And of course, it's just what it is. It's rooted in idolatry, and it's still, it's fueled by people still keeping their eyes fixed on flesh and blood, no matter how anointed they are before God to some degree. So we have to be a people who have our eyes fixed on Jesus, fixed on the Word of God, and who are in right relationship with God, so that we are automatically and supernaturally by the power of God kept in that place of having our priorities perfectly straight. Because we're a people that should be aiming for pinpoint accuracy in all things, because there is not going to be any error in the true church. Error is rooted in rebellion, and there will not be any rebellion. As I go on to talk, I'm going to talk about the effect of the Holy Spirit and in the removal of the spirit of rebellion from the midst of the congregations of the righteous. It's a good time for every Christian to be in right relationship with God, because when this thing starts, it may be too late for some. I don't know that, but I know that it's better to build your tent and establish it in a firm place rather than try to pitch it in the middle of a raging storm, because that's what's going to happen. You know, we've talked about the former and the latter rains, and we've talked about the fire of God coming forth. Well, those things are a blessing to those who are walking in righteousness. But that very same manifestation will cause total devastation and chaos to those who are outside that place of the secret place of His presence. It's the way it is. Better for Christians to hearken to the warning now. So I began to talk about the responsibility of God's holy apostles and prophets. And of course, you know, again, that whole element of leading people into the fullness of what they're called to in Christ without exception without compromise. Now, people who are living for themselves don't like that message. They don't like the gospel of the kingdom because it requires all. But if people who truly love God, then they will be very greatly blessed, very greatly elevated in a short time in this hour due to this anointing. We've only seen a glimpse of the third day anointing. And you know, it's funny, you know how everybody seems to take terms that come forth from the throne room, Revelation, actually expressed in Hosea, and make them buzzwords. Well, they've even made Jesus a buzzword, so we shouldn't be too shocked at that. But we have not yet seen the fullness of what God is about to do in the third day anointing, but we're about to. And we need to be ready, we need to be acclimatized, not only so we can partake of what God is doing, but so that we can also be used by Him to be a vessel of that anointing and gain great results for the kingdom. I mean, I could stand here for the next whatever time I have and just try to get across to you just how awesome this is going to be. You know, and it really goes back to the conference message that God gave me to speak. You know, we are still a people that are climbing that mountain, you know, coming into that place, seeking to come into that place where we're one with the Father's heart, where we begin to understand to whatever degree we possibly can the awesomeness of God. I mean, we call Him Almighty God, but do we believe that He's Almighty? Well, He is, and He's about to show Himself strong in the face of all that the devil's attempting to do. And we talked a bit about the fact that all true ministry, apostolic and prophetic ministry, always puts the onus on the individual Christian to come into right fellowship with God. It's a simple thing, but if you really look closely when you study different ministries or you study different words that are coming forth, you will not see that principle there. And that is a very, very key thing so that you can understand and not be taken aside by all these strange words that are coming forth. The one, again, I've said this before, but one of the chief characteristics of true anointing, the third day anointing, is clarity. And that's a wonderful thing because it dissolves confusion. If people get caught in a spirit of confusion in this last hour, it's because they have allowed themselves to come into a wrong place. But if they will truly seek God, they will not be confused in this last hour. We talked about the fullness of the offices coming about in this last hour. That's going to cause a domino effect right down to every last member of the body of Christ truly seeking God. And this rapid establishment of the fivefold ministry and true divine government working is going to cause a great and rapid escalation in the spiritual maturity of every last member, again, who's truly seeking God. That's extremely important to remember. We are not to be a people who are bound by time. Yes, time is there, but now we're in a place where eternity is about to enter into time, and it's going to cause an amazing manifestation in our midst. We've all experienced it to a degree. Anytime you're in the presence of the Lord, perhaps when He's giving you a prophecy or just simply in His presence, it's timeless. You know, we've all experienced this. You sit there, and you think you've been sitting for 10 minutes. It's actually been 2 hours. And this is the type of life that we're going to live. And again, going back to the conference message, one of the things that God showed me was that it will be, one day will be like 10 days of productivity in the kingdom, when we're in the kingdom in these last days. So again, we have to be a people who are acclimatized, and the first and foremost prerequisite to proper acclimatization to God is just simply a pure heart. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have or don't have. It depends on your heart. Because in one split second, God can give you a revelation that will not only turn your own life upside down, but turn a church upside down, or anything else He wants to turn upside down. So it's extremely important that we do not limit God in this last hour by taking any preconceived notions, looking back to what the church has been, even in the glorious glimpses that we've had. We must be a people who walk by revelation day by day. Again, another important aspect of being in fellowship daily with God. We talked about, because of this, the fivefold ministry being established, because of the true environments being established, both internally and ministering to the world, perhaps through the internet, whatever way God chooses to reach and however many people He chooses to reach, there is going to be an utter devastation and exposing of all that is false or counterfeit. That's simply anything apart from the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the spirit of rebellion will be driven out before this great anointing that comes forth from those truly seeking God. And again, keep in mind this parallel that I'm talking not only about apostles and prophets, I'm talking about every last member of the body of Christ and whatever path that God gives them to walk in this last hour. You have to have that mentality, because there's a built-in excuse in the flesh, and many, many years of the lies of Satan being perpetuated in the church, that there's a hierarchy. Well, there is no hierarchy. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to keep our eyes fixed on them, each and every one of us, and whatever we're called to for whatever purpose will become evident, will manifest. But if we're caught keeping our eyes on people in this last hour, it will be a devastating thing, because people are going over here and people are going over there. And only those who know the Father, who know Jesus, are going to hear his voice and go in that right spot. We talked about superabundant prosperity. Now, this is very important. I defined divine prosperity as being the ability, the supernatural, the God-given ability to be able to meet the needs of all those who cross your path, spirit, soul, body, or financially, whatever the need is. That's what abiding in divine prosperity is. Just the same way as abiding in divine health is the ability to counteract any attack of a spirit of infirmity or any type of illness. And not only that, but to walk free of that, to impart the life of God so that others can be free of that. That's what abiding in divine health is. So the same way with divine prosperity. We cannot be money-minded people. I mean, heavens. I mean, what degree of maturity would that be if Christians are still caught up by the love of money? You see, there's only two loves you can have, and that is the love of God, wholly given, the heart wholly given, or the love of money. And whichever one, doesn't matter whether you're a Christian trying to serve God, our heart has to be the love of God first. Then we can be handled. There's still a lot of immature attitudes in the church concerning finances. In many cases, it's still looked upon as filthy lucre. But I'll tell you, that so-called filthy lucre can turn the devil's kingdom upside down and shake it. And God's going to do that. There's no way that God ever planned for the devil to come out ahead of Jesus as far as finances was concerned. And the reality of the situation is they all belong to him, period. And they're going to come into the hands of those who are faithful and those people who desire to have a burning desire to walk with a pinpoint accuracy, because he's going to take that money. It's not just money. But he's going to take that money, he's going to hurt the devil with it to the greatest degree. He's going to take the revelation and hurt the devil with the greatest degree. So as we prosper, as our soul prospers, we're going to be used to devastate Satan. So it's extremely important, again, that we allow ourselves to be elevated above these darkened mindsets concerning finances. It's important to God. It's important to the Father. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, "Put your trust in the Lord your God, you will be established." That's what I've been talking about. We need to be established in the Word. We need to be established in the will of God. When you're established in the will of God, that's the place to be. That's the place from which everything else comes to pass. But the fact is, he continued on and he said, "Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." One translation says, "Believe and remain steadfast to the words of the prophets and you shall prosper." I don't know how many times over the years that I prayed for somebody or somebody asked me to pray for them, and I went and prayed, and God gave me a specific word. Sometimes it was an instruction, sometimes it was just a scripture, whatever it was. But I knew that if the people acted on what God gave me, that they would immediately begin to prosper, and whatever situation they were in, God would elevate them. And those who did hearken to that word, it was supernaturally were elevated. So I've had glimpses of that over the years. But in this last hour, you're going to see this thing come to its absoluteness, because you could actually add something to this verse and you could see the other part. There are going to be those in this last hour who, because of the pureness of their heart, are going to hearken to the words spoken from the throne room through God's servants. And they are going to be immediately elevated and prospered to a supernatural sign of wonder, actually. And this is going to be a very important thing in the body of Christ. But on the other hand, this time of hearing a word and saying, well, I don't know about that, and picking and choosing, it's over. It's over. That's why we need to have pure hearts, so we can discern between what's true and what's not true. Do you know how easy it is to affix one's faith to a word that's not of God if they're not right with God? And this thing is widening, I'm telling you. And the trouble is, in that place, they believe they have a pure faith or a true faith, when in reality they're believing a lie of the enemy and not even knowing it. Not a good thing. But my point was here that we need to be in the right position with God and corporately so that we can take the words that are coming forth through the true servants of God, put our faith on those words, hold steadfast to them, and we will see God's prosperity in our life, whatever that means, whatever it means to us in that moment. It may be a revelation we need. It may be wisdom. It may be anything. But the fact is, we will experience exactly what we need to experience in that hour if we will hearken to the words that are from the throne room. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will reveal and empower us to use the prosperity that God blesses us with in each situation, whether it's individual, corporate, it makes no difference. And we'll have that word for a person. We'll have the finances that they need. We will have everything we need. And we'll have that assurance. And it will be super abundant blessing that God issues forth through his church in this last hour. A sign and a wonder. Things that will cause people to be absolutely amazed. And you know, when you walk in obedience and you give of yourself, you speak in obedience, you act in obedience, there is an impartation of love on that. In the same way, when people give or do things apart from the Spirit of God, there is no love in it. It doesn't matter how much they do or how much they give. You see, everything is coming down to obedience now. And when we obey God, there will be a supernatural impartation of his power and his love into the lives of the people. Again, I don't know why people worry about evangelizing the world. You just fill yourself so full of the love of God, you'll have the right word to speak. You'll have the right thing to do, or you'll know the thing to do in any given moment. And God's going to do a very awesome and a very quick work in this last hour. We talked about the fact that another purpose of the apostles was to reveal the ascension life in Christ. That is, being seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ in the heavenly places and abiding there. About having come into rest, supernatural rest, abiding there, because that's the place from where the true church operates. It doesn't operate from any other place. So we have to be a people whose hearts are abiding in that place, because in that place we receive the revelation of absolute life, and it's only that absolute life that will cause the spirit of death and death in all its forms to be crushed under our feet. Simple matter of positioning, but oh, how important it is. Because one is absolute life and light and love, and the other one is total darkness that's going on in this world. We talked about the establishment of the true local church. Again, the importance of the establishment of divine government. But all things are from people who are formed through people who are wholly given to God, who have, through obedience, through resisting the enemy, have come into a place corporately of a true environment. And God is going to do some awesome and great things through the true environment. It doesn't matter how he already is, but the fact is, it's going to escalate. And again, as these true environments come forth, first of all, everything within those environments is going to be exposed for what it is, of Christ or not of Christ. And of course, they will be purified. And you know, Paul had that scripture in 1 Corinthians where he said, each man's work will become evident. Well, that's not after we leave here. Obviously, it'll be evident then. It's now. See, every revelation that God gave Paul and every other apostle, and the words that Jesus spoke, were all to this one end. That was a spotless and unblemished church, a people who were wholly given to God. If you look completely right through the plan of God, right from the beginning, even from the time of the fall, God began to set that thing in motion. And I mean, even back in Deuteronomy, he talked about loving the Lord with all your heart. And he set forth a divine requirement. But it's all coming together now. We're the most blessed generation to ever walk this earth. But we are also the generation that has the most responsibility and accountability before God. And that's again why, as he reveals himself in his absoluteness, everything is going to be revealed. Everything is going to be separated to this side or that side. There will be no middle ground in this last hour. That's a good thing. It's that middle ground that the devil's been allowed to work in for so many years, but it will be no more. We talked about divine restoration, the importance of knowing the Father's love, and again, I've talked at length about the inner chamber, but one of the great and spontaneous manifestations of the individual entering into that place is that there's a continual impartation of the Father's love, and this will restore everything that needs to be restored within us. But the beauty of it is that as we partake of that continually, then we become fit vessels to go forth and be a vessel of God's restoration to a world that needs restoration worse than it ever has before. These are spiritual realities. If we really want to be productive Christians, then we must be filled with the love of God to overflowing, consumed with the love of God to overflowing. Here's a word I read. I shall abide in my holy apostles and prophets, and they shall abide in me. And I shall reveal myself, my fatherhood, through them wherever they go and in whatever they speak. Now again, that parallel. When I say holy apostles and prophets, you have to think yourself. Whatever you're called to makes no difference. This thing will filter down and has filtered down, and God is preparing us as a body to be a vessel of his divine restoration and his perfect love. There's no greater power in the universe. You know, if you have a problem, you're trying to figure out what to do, just ask God what you can do in obedience to him, because that manifestation of love that comes through you will bless whoever you're led to, but it will also restore you at the same time. It's the greatest power. Within that love is found his wisdom and every other aspect of his character. The only thing that a Christian will ever lack in this earth is obedience. That's it. If you walk in obedience, you cannot lack. It's absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. The problem has been, because self-desire has been allowed to remain in many people's lives, they're confused as to what God's will is. And so they're constantly in a state of lack because they think they need something they don't need. And God has to hold what they really need back until they walk uprightly before him. But once they get their heart back in place, they'll never lack. And they'll have the assurance of that too. And if they need something, their heart will be pure, they'll pray, it will be there. Boy, we have to be a people who have our priorities straight and allow God to continually shine his light in our hearts so that we don't have any kind of self-desire. See, this life is very, very simple, the true Christian life, but it's absolute. And that's where people fall down, when they don't understand that God requires everything. We talked about, this really goes with this, the great necessity of knowing and understanding the Father's heart in this last hour. He has a plan. Now, nobody's going to get that plan like a giant blueprint and they will just all follow it. That plan is going to be established, again, by revelation knowledge, working in the heart of each individual member who's truly seeking him. And it will just come forth. Now, we have some glimpses. But mostly, it's his plan for his people to be holy. So if we're holy, the plan will unfold. God will do so many great things before the catching away of the church that we will not even have time to comprehend the fullness of what he's doing. So we just need to be people who are holy. He'll take care of the rest. The bottom line in the whole thing, as we talk about the glorious church, is that God is coming to take full control of his church, and he has a people in the earth that he can take full control of. Now, again, when we get a revelation of the Father's plan, when we understand his plan for our own lives, we understand his plan for the corporate church as it applies to us, you know, when we go forth, when we do things, when we speak, we're going to throw the devil's plans into utter confusion. See, there is going to be a civil war, but it's going to be very short because, first of all, there's a people in this earth that are empowered by the Holy Spirit and whose hearts are wholly dedicated to loving even those who curse them and who persecute them. And secondly, God is fed up with people bad-mouthing Jesus. Yeah. And the fact is, and his own people, of course, that's where the judgment begins, at the household, his own household, he's fed up with it. And he's going to make signs and wonders in the midst of his people so people understand that the reverence of God and the respect of his true servants is a serious thing. And I keep thinking back to the story of David and Saul. If you study that, David had an opportunity to kill Saul twice and didn't do it. And so those people who are constantly speaking against the true servants of God, you see, because it's not just a matter of attacking a man, it's a matter of influencing the sheep away from true doctrine, influencing them away from the true plan of God for their life. Now, how would an earthly parent react if there was somebody out there trying to, you know, take their children away from them, their small children away from them? Well, how much more the Heavenly Father? So see, these things are real, and God is coming to move in these situations. But anyway, the kingdom of darkness will be thrown into utter chaos and confusion. We've seen many examples of that in the history of Israel.
But as the kingdom, the people of God go forth abiding in the kingdom, we're going to see utter confusion in the enemy's camp. Again, the revelation of the spirit of the cross. We must be a people who live by the spirit of the cross. That just simply means that we're totally empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that whenever we see a situation, we are going to deny ourselves and simply walk in obedience, regardless of what that means to us. That's all that means. But it's a very, very fine line between people maintaining self-desire and giving themselves wholly to God. You know, we are a people who must make many decisions in any given day, and we need to continually have that empowerment of the Spirit of the cross to make the right decision. Talked about the danger of hardness of heart and how God is coming to remove that from his people. What a dangerous thing a hardness of heart is. I mean, again, that's you have a pure heart or you have a hardened heart. And in this last hour, the scripture says that the love of many will grow cold. I've seen that. And they still think they're walking in love. But they wouldn't know what love was if it came and hit them right in the head. Because love's a person. It's not a feeling. So the fact is, we need to know that person. We need to be in relationship with that person. We need to be infilled with that person so that there's a spontaneous manifestation of his character, so that his love is continually shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love. A word he gave me about hardness of heart. There's only one way to prevent it, and one way alone. He said, "Have I not said that it is only close and intimate fellowship with me that will prevent self-exaltation, or the fueling of self-desire, from creeping into one's ministry? Indeed, as I send my holy apostles and prophets forth, every foundation which I call them to lay shall have as its root and source the command for all those who serve me to walk before me and fellowship in my presence." And so, again, being in the inner chamber, being in fellowship with God, it will prevent hardness of heart, because that light will be continually shining in. Very, very important. People are doing and saying some very strange things now in the belief that they're in the will of God, when in reality their heart is hardened towards him and they can't hear his voice. Another important thing is that God is raising us up to be pure vessels of his love, his holiness. And in the process, that means that everything we do and say in obedience to him is calculated by the Father personally to offend all that's apart from Christ and to bless all that's part of Christ. And I mean blessed to a supernaturally, a great degree, supernaturally speaking. So that's our entire lives. You know, we talked about holy fire and the fact that fire is going to expose and consume all that again, is apart from Christ. And, you know, it's going to have different manifestations. Again, it's going to bless people. God gave me a revelation of a bonfire, a big bonfire once. And I saw myself walking up to that bonfire, because it was the middle of winter. And I was standing in a certain place, and that fire was a great blessing. The warmth was coming. It's always nice to see a fire. But then I also saw, in an instant, I saw people that were consumed in that fire. And I realized that if I stood too close to that fire, it was going to be harmful to me. I don't mean that as an analogy of being too close to God. I just mean being in a wrong position. And it was harmful. But in the right position, it was a great blessing. And that's the way it will be in this last hour, as the fire of God comes forth through his servants. That's through all of us. And it was going to expose and consume whatever, again, is apart from Christ. And it's going to have an effect of great terror upon those who are prideful and arrogant and rebellious, those who have chosen to remain in that position. But again, that comes from the thing before. If we spend time in fellowship with God, if we walk and seek to walk in obedience day by day, then these things won't exist in us. And so the fire will be a great blessing and propel us into great things in the kingdom. But, again, great terror shall overwhelm the prideful and arrogant and rebellion, and their hearts shall begin to faint, and all their plans and religious activities will be as nothing before Jesus, before the Holy Spirit. These things are going to happen before we leave here. And of course, we are not just seeking to be on the right side, but to be a vessel of God's revelation so that others can be totally free in Christ. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that only where he is in this last hour will there be anything that even looks like liberty. So we must be ready. Again, I talked a bit about this before, but we talked about true apostolic and prophetic ministry. Again, defining apostolic ministry, Christ all in all. It's that simple. And of course, true prophetic ministry is just simply the revelation, the pure and unadulterated revelation of the will of God to his people. Simple. I don't want to go there. I thought about all the horror stories of times past as far as the misuse of the gifts. But in this last hour, there will be a true working fivefold ministry. There will be a number of true bodies throughout the earth walking in the gifts of the Spirit perfectly. And it's going to lead to great things. You see, I mentioned this before, but the time has passed where people can pick and choose. Oh, I like this word, I don't like that word. You better know what word's of God and what word's not of God. Because if a person doesn't have a right heart motivation towards God, they're going to choose the wrong words, they're going to affix their faith to them. And they're going to be exercising faith in a lie. Well, don't forget that every lie that Satan perpetrates, whether it's false doctrine or anything else in the midst of God's people, is to hinder, hinder the establishment of the true church and the establishment of the kingdom going forth in the midst of God's people. So we have to be a people who do not believe in those lies and be a people who shine the light of God in love into situations or into places where people have false doctrine or have preconceived notions of what God's will really is. Again, if they don't receive enlightenment from on high, they will be held captive by the evil one to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. It's in there. Having been held captive by Satan to do his will. It's a letter to the church. Again, we're going to see these things in this last hour. We're going to see the absoluteness of God come forth. We're going to see what's of life and what's of death. What's of light, what's of darkness. We're called to be vessels of the spirit of judgment and burning. See, when we talk about judgment, we don't have to take anything upon ourselves. We just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the very things that we do and say will judge that before us. It will judge something as righteous or unrighteous, but it will judge. We will be walking ultimatums before the people in the world and in the church. Another important aspect of true ministry, we are to be a people who are called by revelation. He's not sending the apostles and prophets to discuss his word. You know, there's many people out there who just want to see how this new message, this third day message, fits in to their schemes. It doesn't. And the very hard attitude of wanting that to happen is causing them to be blinded. And that's why God is not sending his holy apostles and prophets to discuss his word. They're coming with a revelation from the throne room. There is no room for discussion. Either a person walks by revelation or they don't. And if they don't have a revelation, they should shut up until they get one in the inner chamber. That's the way it is. Because if they're fooling around with these things, they're going to end up calling the true servants of God false servants of God. And there's a great price to pay for that in this last hour. It's not going to hurt the true servants. They're just going to keep going. In most cases, they've already been well established in the area of being persecuted and learning to walk in love at all costs to themselves. But the cost to those coming against them, see, they're coming against Jesus. And this is the time where the Father is chosen to exalt the name of Jesus to the greatest degree he's ever been able to. And you don't want to be found coming against that in any way, shape, or form. You know, we need to be a people who have a holy intolerance. We need to be a people who will refuse to settle for less than the Father's best. I mean, any given situation, no matter how small, no matter how big, we need to be a people who are seeking the Father's best. We may not always know what that's going to be or how that's going to unfold. But if we're seeking it, it will unfold that way. Because the Father's best isn't just what he has for us. It's certainly that. But it's also the fullness of his plan for our life and who we're going to affect and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. It's all calculated by him. So in any given moment, if we're truly seeking the Father's best, then we have the assurance that we have it. Very, very important. But we need to be a people because he wants us to be walking ultimatums. People need to understand. See, that the greatest forces of darkness that have ever been released into this earth are going to be released in this last hour. Well, that shouldn't cause a Christian to even blink. Because the greatest outpouring of God's presence and spirit that this earth's ever seen is going to be poured out. Well, who's going to win? You know, Christians go along and they, in many cases, they'll quote 1 John 4:4 and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But they don't live it. They don't act it. We need to be a people who have that, that drives us. Because when you have a revelation of that, you'll really see the devil for who he is and how powerless he really is in the light of a heart that refuses to fear. We talked many times about, this other aspect, of the Father's best and believing for the Father's best. It's very, very important. Because if we aren't a people who are doing that, then things are going to remain the same. And we cannot be a people. This is the final generation. There will be no plateauing in the true church. We're going step by step by step till that final step into the presence of God forever. But we will be a people who are on the move. That's one of the reasons why Paul began to speak the revelation, not having yet arrived. At that point in Paul's life, if he hadn't arrived, then he knew that the first time he was going to arrive was when he stepped in, when he had finished the course, when he stepped into the presence of the Father. And every last Christian truly seeking God should have the mindset that the first time that we will have arrived is when we step in to the wedding feast. That's the reality of that situation. It's not a big thing, but it's an absolute thing again. So we have to have a lifestyle that is geared and a mindset that's geared to bringing every thought captive to that fact. And in that way, we'll surely finish the race and finish it gloriously. We've talked at length about trust in the past. And again, I've talked about the importance of us coming into a perfect trust of the Father. Simple. If you trust someone, you'll have faith in them. Well, if you trust God, you'll have faith in His Word. You'll have faith in His will. You'll have faith in His power the fact that He's watching over His Word to perform it. See, this is all in the Bible. But now you see all the things that God's taught us over the years are coming to that place where we're going to be called accountable. And that's no problem because He's done all the work. He's put these revelations in our heart. And we're going to be called to act on them. But the simple fact of the matter is this, that if people don't come into right relationship with God, they'll never come into a trust of Him. I'm so tired of the lies of the enemy, keeping people of God down. Now, again, they're accountable for that. And there's time for repentance. But fooling around with condemnation, self-pity, all those foolish things, the lies of the enemy, must stop. Because if that's maintained, they'll never come into a place where they trust God, and therefore they'll never come into a place where they trust Him absolutely, where they exercise an absolute faith. And guess what? Whatever does not proceed from an absolute faith and dependence in God, word, action, anything else you want to talk about, is sin. It's that simple. See, people, it's the same, you could call it a hierarchy spirit. It's the way the devil formulates his lies. They say, well, okay, oh, this sin is, oh, that's really bad. Oh, this sin's not so bad. It's a lie. Yes, certainly there's some sins that'll kill you quicker than others. There's no question about that. But the fact is, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. So if there is sin remaining in the heart, then that sin is able to consume that heart. It's able to bring darkness in and leave an open door for darkness to continually enter in. Block the entrance of God's Word, which is the only thing that can produce light in us, the entrance of His Word. Not just His Word, but the entrance of His Word. So these are realities, again, that we have to be aware of. You know, on an individual level, each one of us should be seeking each day, because this doesn't have anything to do with anybody else or anything else or anything that's going on anywhere else. We need to be a people who are just simply seeking to learn how to depend on Him to a deeper degree with each passing day. And He's faithful to provide circumstances and opportunities. Again, perfect obedience on our behalf will always bring forth the necessary confrontation. First in us, if there's anything to be confronted, but most certainly in those who cross our path. Always. That's why people are afraid to obey sometimes. They know it's going to confront the fear in them. But we need to be a people who dive in there and realize that God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of love, and He wants to replace that ground with His perfect love and, again, cast out all ground that's in us. So it's important to trust. You know, we talked about a bit in times past about the impartation of anointing. Extremely important. Now, keep in mind, as I said before, all these things are going to escalate in this final hour. I mean radically. I shared the vision a long time ago about the that God gave me about I saw an apostle and a prophet with a branding iron. And they were going around, and every time they spoke, that branding iron would that word they spoke would be emblazoned on the hearts of their people. And like I said before, when you brand something, you don't just rub it off the next day. That's there. So we need to be a people who understand the principles of the kingdom. And one of those principles is found in Matthew 10, 40 and 41. And as I was reading that this morning, we're very familiar with 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. But if you read the verse before, and indeed many things he said before that, it says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him, the Father, who sent me. See the principle there? This principle of receiving. That's why to reject the word of a true servant of God brings great spiritual detriment to that person. And receiving it brings great spiritual blessing. And it's all based on a person's heart. Actually, that second part of that verse says, receives and welcomes and accepts a prophet because he is a prophet. Well, who's a prophet? A prophet's a man or a woman sent to deliver the will of God, the heart of the Father to people. This could apply to apostles. It could apply to any member of the body of Christ because it's that same anointing. But the fact is, of course, there's offices for specific purposes. But the thing is, it's the same principle. So again, we need to be a people whose hearts are ready to receive that which is of God and reject that which is not. Because if you honor the men and women of God, then you honor God. And if you honor God, you are blessed. It's that simple. See, when you honor God, God doesn't need honor in the sense that, you know, in the totality of himself, he is all things. But the fact is, it opens the door for him to honor us. And you know what God constitutes honoring us? He honors us with his presence. Guess what? How we honor him? We honor him with our presence. Simple concept. So when we're in that place, then we can understand what's of God and what's not. And this is extremely important this hour because you are again going to see signs and wonders of divine prosperity come forth on those people who will listen to the words of coming from the throne room. Because they're not honoring men, they're honoring God. They're listening to what God has to say because they're interested only in doing his will. Because Paul spoke about in Ephesians 4, verse 29, he said, let no unwholesome word proceed from my mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that's kingdom stuff, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Great impartation of grace coming in this hour through the true servants of God. And if the people's hearts are willing and open and pure, they will receive that grace and they will be catapulted, literally, into a place they never even thought possible. And again, breaking down this progression of trudging along, we're going to come into that great place of corporate unity in the body of Christ, the true church, and it's going to be a total empowerment. The word will be ministered by the true servants of God in the fullness of conviction, and it will impart the absoluteness of God's character in this last hour, and that includes everything he said. So we're going to come into a pure understanding of what God has called us to. We're going to understand his heart, and we're certainly going to understand that he means what he says. And he only says what he means. We need to be able to discern what's of God and what's not. But the importance of acting on the Word of God, individually written, spoken, it doesn't make any difference. When you hook in to the words that are coming from the Father's heart, and exercise faith in him, unite your faith with him in this last hour, you're going to see some quick results in your own life personally, and you're going to cause a corporate effect in the body that you didn't even think possible in such a short time. One of the things the apostles and the prophets are bringing is a revelation of authoritative prayer. Now, the simple principle of this is, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, whatever you desire, whatever you ask, whatever comes out of your heart, whatever words issue forth out of the abundance of your heart, that right relationship with me, I will give you. In other words, so God is going to place things in our heart. We're going to speak them. they're going to come to pass to a continually quicker degree. And I believe, I fully believe this. Matter of fact, I have no doubt about it at all, that in the final moments, even before we're caught up out of here, we're just going to finish the job by speaking exactly what needs to be spoken, and then we'll be gone. That's how quickly that thing will accelerate. So the job will get done. It will get done perfectly. Nobody's going to be left behind except by their own choice. And again, I have to mention this here because there's such a misunderstanding of things about this whole thing, but the bottom line is this, that those who are seeking to abide in obedience, they'll be just going step by step in obedience and obedience. And I heard it once said, somebody asked me, well, who's going to be raptured? He's not. Well, he's those simply walking in obedience when that time comes. So our job is to abide in obedience all the time anyway, so what's the problem? But the fact is that many people still have that hard attitude that the Thessalonians, many Thessalonians had back then, and that was, well, let's just kick back and it'll happen. Nothing's going to happen this last hour apart from faith that's good to the Christian. As a matter of fact, everything must be appropriated by faith, or we won't be appropriating the right things. And what you're either going to appropriate what God has or what the devil has. So we need to be a people who are in that position where we know the desires of the Father's heart, where we're speaking, we're in agreement with Him, and we will speak authoritatively, and the things that we pray will come to pass. Too much fooling around going on there. All because of wrong relationship with God. It's just like, I just thought of the story of Job, you know, at the end, all after all the stuff that went on with his friends, Elihu came on the scene. And one of the key things that jumped out at me there was that he says, I just can't hold this in anymore. I'm so filled with what God has given me, I've got to speak it. And that's the way we'll be as the Third Day Church. It will be that spontaneous manifestation. And the authority of God will go forth on the words that we speak and bring to perfect manifestation whatever He desires to bring. I'm not going to go into it right now, but another aspect of this divine restoration is the restoration of true relationship. If a Christian gets in true relationship with God, then everything else filters down, whether it's a marriage, whether it's friends, whether it's the church, makes no difference. That is an area of great darkness in this hour. I mean, people are still struggling with relationships. It's because they're struggling with their relationship with God. If you're in right relationship with God, you won't struggle in your relationships. Oh, you may have to walk in love when others don't love you, but you won't struggle with your relationships. You'll know where you stand, and you'll know that you're a positive influence, whether they receive it or not, on all those who cross your path, whether it's in your family or anywhere else. That's one area that God is really coming to deal with, because people, you know, if you don't know how to relate to people, it's because you don't first know how to relate to God. Because once you understand how God relates to you and who you are through His eyes, you won't have any trouble with people. You just won't. Yeah, like I said, you'll have to walk in love, but we're called to exercise faith anyway. So, but that's very important. So another manifestation of right relationship with God is that you'll come to understand relationship. And then, of course, when you're in that right relationship with God, then He can link you with other people who are in right relationship with Him. Then you've got glorious connections. Then you've got true corporate unity. Then you've got power, the power of love going forth individually and corporately in that situation. It's a simple concept. I mean, the kingdom is very simple. Of course, that's what trips the world up, isn't it? Because they're so intellectual. But they don't have the mind of Christ. And that's what's needed. And speaking of that, we need to be a people, another aspect of the ministry of the apostles and prophets, to bring forth a righteousness consciousness, the revelation of that. Boy, we've seen sin consciousness. And again, I'll define that. Sin consciousness is simply the inclination of a Christian. The world's in sin consciousness. They haven't got any other consciousness. But the inclination of the Christian to keep their eyes fixed on that which they've been redeemed from rather than that which they've been redeemed into. That means speaking about it, talking about it. If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and if we spend that time in fellowship with the Father, we will come into a revelation of who we are in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. And as we properly and effectively operate, allow the blood of Jesus to operate in our lives, we stay clean of that. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how many people have a revelation of it, but the fact is this. You know, people say, well, Jesus was the spotless Son of God. You know, because first of all, we'll say, well, you know, he had the Holy Spirit and so on, and oh, that's wonderful. And we have the Holy Spirit too, but he was the spotless Son of God. Well, who do you think you are? Yeah. Every time you exercise the blood of Jesus in your life, you are the sinless. You are a sinless vessel before God. That's the reality of that situation. But if people maintain sin consciousness, they never come to the revelation of that. That is the basic revelation of righteousness consciousness. To understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Again, see, these things are all in the Bible. And if Christians don't come to an understanding of them, then they will never come into their kingdom position. Because we need to be a people who are exercising an absolute faith. And we can't have any of these foolish things. I get a little fiery about that because I'm seeing people. I mean, if people don't repent of the stupid attitudes they've had, they're going to find themselves in a bad, bad, bad position. I'm not talking about the loss of eternal salvation, but I'm talking about some serious wailing and gnashing of teeth in this hour. That's no way for a son of God or a daughter of God to live at all. Not to mention the fact that it makes them totally unfit and useless as far as setting other people free, all because of their own selfishness. The only way a person will miss their kingdom position is because of selfishness. It's that simple. I don't care how many demons are trying to stop them. If they make the choice to enter into their kingdom position, God will get them there by the power of His Spirit. The will is a powerful thing. Okay, we talked about the divine requirement being holiness. And again, the holy apostles and prophets bringing forth a revelation of the divine requirement to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with every fiber of your being. That's the root. So the revelation's gone forth from the throne room, and that's why I'm able to stand here and say, and this is throughout the body of Christ, that's why I'm able to stand here and say that people who don't adhere to that will not be found to be faithful. And like I said, when Paul wrote that letter, he said to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, of course you can't be faithful apart from being in Christ Jesus. And finally, the Spirit of Truth. This will be another chief characteristic of the Third Day Church. And that is the Spirit of Truth will go forth in everything we do, everything we say. And it will cause many things to happen. It will reveal things to come. It will establish people's hearts in the plan and the will of God. John 16:13 says, when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. All the time, you can add to that. And He will disclose to you what is to come. What greater assurance do we need? We have the assurance of Jesus Himself. And if you read the passages before that and after that, you'll see that He said, I'm saying these things to you so you won't stumble. I'm saying these things to you because I've made a way, and you will not fail. If you choose to walk in love, if you choose to obey Me, you will not fail to accomplish all that the Father created you for. And finally, I'm just talking about the importance of being rooted and grounded in love, because when He began that passage in verse 1, He said, these things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering service to God. And these things they will do, because they have not known the Father or Me, but these things I have spoken to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And what I've spoken to you today is basically this. We as Christians need to be rooted and grounded in love so that we can receive everything that God has for us and be able to stand and to be able to comprehend His heart. And to be able to withstand the attacks that are coming. Not only withstand, but to victoriously overcome and get many of those who are used in this civil war against the true church into a deep and thorough repentance. So, Father, I just thank You for these words. And I thank You, Father, that throughout the earth You're raising up many pockets of believers whose hearts are wholly given to You, those who are rooted and grounded in love and who are comprehending all that You're doing in this glorious hour. And again, we give You praise, honor, and glory. For all things. In Jesus' name, amen.